Okay, 102B at the bottom of the page. Let's see. We mentioned about pits earlier on in the Mishnah. Going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, it's the very start of the Mishnah, which was an Amud Aleph. It said that if you had Garine Truma, seeds of Truma, it depends if the Kohen keeps them, then they're Usur. If he throws them away, they're Mutter. So what kind of seeds are we talking about? So Rabbi Yechon says, Bigaline Agosin. These are seeds of pears or crustumine pears, whatever they are, pears. And those seeds are soft and edible, but all other seeds are hard, and it wouldn't make a difference whether the Kohen wants to keep them, doesn't want to keep them, they wouldn't be considered part of Truma. So Rabbi Yechon is limiting the Mishnah to very, very narrow examples. Now on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, Amar Rav Blazer, Afilu B'Tayim B'Galine Horeitiv, even pits of moist dates of Truma also. And
they're rocks.
Well, V'Mechusarin L'Matzmeitz, which have not yet had the moisture sucked out of them. So you ever hold on to a date pit in your mouth? I mean, I have. You know, it has a little residue of date meat usually stuck on it. And even if not, it seems to have like a little moisture in it. So if you suck it so that it comes completely dry, then it would be nothing to talk about. But if it still hasn't had the juice sucked out of it, then it would be possible as well. Okay? So, Hataninon B'chein Atzmas HaKadosh. The Gemara asks a question. What are you talking about? It says in the Mishnah that bones are also have the same deal. It's the same deal as with the seeds, right? That it depends if he keeps them, right? Is that what it said?
Yes.
It said, Atzim shall catch him if he keeps them, or if he throws them away, they're mutter. That's what it says at the top of Kofes on the base. So the Gemara says, Isloch lemeimar mechusaris lematzmeitz. Are we talking about that they have not yet had the moisture sucked from them? That's not what we're talking about. You cannot say that. It means bones are dry. They don't contain moisture that can be sucked out of them. If they have marrow, then that's b'chol not included in the Mishnah. If they have marrow, the Kohen can't decide to keep them, not to keep them. They're always going to be osur. So we're talking about dry bones. So just like dry bones, which have nothing to suck out of them, it depends on whether the Kohen keeps them or not. So too, the seeds are also not going to depend on whether you've sucked the moisture out of them or not, because they're in the same Mishnah. Okay, that's what's done. So rather, what does it mean when it means bones? For Rashi, Knofayim v'hatzuchus, and the tips of the shoulder blades, the other pieces of cartilage on the ear, for instance, that they could be eaten if you cook them a long, long time. They become a little bit more soft, and then they could be eaten. So too, with regard to the seeds, they're soft and edible. That's what we're talking about.
So it depends on that particular Kohen. How about if a different Kohen next door wanted them?
No, it was the owner. I think it's the owner, the Kohen owner, will make the determination. That's the way I understood it. He just validated that that's exactly what we're talking about.
Okay. Do we see this often that the individual can make an assessment of what the item is?
Yeah. He can decide whether something is going to have kedusha or not based on his desires. Yeah, that was all the time.
I don't see that in the words yet.
What don't you see in the words?
That it's up to the individual Kohen.
Who else is making the decision? When it says in the Mishnah, when it says in the Mishnah, "Vizman shehu mechan son," who's who?
The Kohen. Kohen. Quote.
Who? Which Kohen?
All of them.
No, that's totally arbitrary. Each Kohen will decide. That's why I know. So let me see.
In other words, the halachas of like Reuven is Kohen. Who decides that?
No, it's not at all the same as that. That's objective. That's objective.
That's objective.
Yeah. In the event the Kohen gathers the seeds, it says here.
Yeah, he's not that hungry.
See, in number 5, he says it's up to the individual.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what you say.
Okay. Next. Then the Mishnah talks about a bran of truma grain, and we said if it's new grain, then we said that some of the, it wouldn't mill so efficiently, and there'd be some little flour stuck in there. So what's considered new, what's considered old? That's the next topic of the Yerushalmi. And it says, that we have chadashos, chazman shabriyos regilim lachbot. If people will usually beat it with their stick rather than having the animals do the beating, so then that means that it is
new.
Rabbi Shloshim Yom, he says it's 30 days. 30 days after the harvest.
They would hit it with the stick because it's more resilient.
It's softer, so you don't need an animal.
I thought it was the other way around, actually. It's actually the other way around. It's the animal is not efficient enough. You need a little more direct hitting it. Hitting it is harder.
Because it's soft.
So you need, the animal is not sufficient. That's what it says in the footnote here.
Oh.
New grain is soft and moist, must therefore be threshed manually rather than using animals. Okay? Oh. All right, Rav Acha, it's not clear whether Rav Acha is arguing on the previous answer or he's providing a time frame. Okay, next. Rav Avu B'Shem Rav Yechonon, Kein Hishur. We said that if, let's suppose you're a mafunik and you want to be sifting, you know, what is it, 1 or 2 kav of fine flour out of a whole, what it was, out of how much? Out of a saw, was it? Sava kapayim l'saw, you out of a whole saw. So that was also allowed. So the Gemara says that that's not just an example. You read the Mishnah, it sounds like, oh, you have a mafunik, he wants a saw, he wants a, you know, this amount. He wants a kav. What was it? 1 or 2 kav. So he says, no, kein hishiura. That's the maximum you can sift out of there. But if you want to sift it so that it's even finer, once you go beyond that shear, you can't sift it any finer because that already is considered destruction.
Waste of truma?
Waste, yeah. Because then already you're reducing. Remember.
Even if you're going to use it all?
No. This guy's not going to use it himself. He's a mafunik. He's trying to get the real fine stuff, right?
Right.
A fine schmecker, like they say. Is that what they call him? But anyway, so this, the remainder, the Mishnah said you put it b'makom hamutzna, right? Which would be until you find someone else that would eat it, or it rots. We allowed that because since that's the way he normally behaves, he normally does such a fine job, so therefore we allow it, right? Here it's excessive. So when it's excessive, we don't allow it.
But if he's going to use it all up,
I never said he was going to use it all up.
He'd
make it more fine flour, so it's going to be finer.
But he decreased the shear. He made it less. He sort of made
it's a, like we do, to, when we did I, the boiling before, you reduce it.
Reduced it.
But here it is. This.
How?
It's not usable.
It is usable.
Why is it not usable?
It is usable.
If it's taken off, it will be usable.
He's refining it very, very much.
Right, he's decreasing the amount each time. The really good stuff,
it gets until you get this one cough, let's say.
So where does he take the stuff he takes it from? Where does that go?
In the corner. You put it in the corner.
Kind of bread that other people,
but it's still
don't
there.
Eat.
It's still he can scrape it off. The
let's
strainer.
See. Wait, 1 second. Let's take a look at the. They quote the plain Maisha over
manure,
here.
In the manure they used to use. I go through a 12. Yeah, not the manure. The shtelechem lechem. They sifted it 12 times till they got the finest.
He doesn't say.
That's what they used to use.
Yeah, the plain Moshe just says velo yosa, that's all you can do, but he doesn't explain any further. I'm just seeing if there's anything in the Mishnah
somehow
that
somehow he's wasting it when he makes it more fine. I don't know, maybe he throws away the stuff that stays on top or something like that.
In the Marafolda, in the Mishnah itself, just to quote it, It says, it's on Kufayz Amud Beis, it says, Hamasalis, Shekolides Hasolas Kedelasos Pasnikiya Bi Yoser, Velo Birar Misaw Shehi Shisha Kamen, Elo Kav O Kavayim, Lul Yashlich Es Hashar, Shaharehu Ro'i La Achila, says it explicitly. Nimsama Abed Ochlan Chotruma. So therefore, you have to put it in the corner. Okay. So you're asking a good question, Lisa. If it's Roy Lachilo, so then why can't he just put a little bit more in the corner? Like, what's exactly the problem here exactly? Not 100% sure about that. Me neither. I guess any excessive behavior, we won't support. You want to act like I'm a sugar? We're not going to support that. Okay? And that's it. I like that. Okay. Next. So Gemara is going to ask Akash on this. V'hatani. It says in the Braisa, Mesaleis v'chitin kol shehu, that if a person wrote kol shehu wrote to him, I should say. It's on the next page. I didn't read it together. Sorry. That a person who is sifting fine flour can do it as much as he wants. There's no limit. And he can cut the leaves off of a vegetable as much as he wants, even though some of those leaves may be somewhat edible, but he doesn't like the leaves. I mean, that's the way it is. Like, I don't like the stalks on the side of my celery. I cut it all off so that it's a smooth stalk. Some people will eat those little stalks. I don't, so I can cut off as much as
he's
I want.
He's a fine schmeckle when it comes to celery.
When it comes to celery, yeah. Mr. Mifunik over here, yeah. So, anyway, bottom line is it says you can do as much as you want.
Right.
Not limited to a kav or kabayim, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a stira to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara answers, Gemara going to give a couple of answers here. Rabbi Avuah b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, b'mamidu al trumasai. That we're telling, that what? That, that when it says you can do as much as you want, it doesn't really mean as much as you want. It means according to the shear that we just said, which is, I guess the least amount was one kav per saw. Okay? So, okay. That's the first answer. Rabbi Yumi b'shem Rabbilo, kam b'shnei Reyoven, kam b'shnei Soiva. That it depends whether it's a famine year or non-famine year. So what's the difference? Which case is which? So that's a machlokes, how to learn the Gemara. I'm going to just say, I like the Varian Pshat very much. It's Chazanish. He says like this. He says, if it's a famine year, people are scrambling for food. They want, it'll be easy to find eaters. So there I can do as much as I want, because no matter what I do, I'll find people to eat it. But where it's Shnei Saiva, so it won't be so easy to find people. So they will have a limitation. That's his answer. That's the way he learns the Gemara. Okay? The pshat in the top of the Gemara, it's just the opposite. I'm just going to learn that way for now because I like that. So we have two pshatim. Tamantanin on. So now since we mentioned trimming vegetables, so we're going to go a little bit more into that. Me'av tiach. If you have the insides of truma watermelons, Knuvas Yarek Shal Truma, or you have trimmed away leaves of Truma vegetables. So what's the rule? Let's just focus more on the leaves for now. What's the rule if someone, a Kohen, trims away leaves of vegetables? Am I, as a Zar, allowed to come in there and take those leaves and eat them since you're discarding them? So maybe I can eat them, right? So Rav Doisa Matal Azarim, he says, yeah, go ahead. Go into the Kohen's kitchen, go into his garbage pail, and take all his cutaway leaves. His karpas, right? His karpas. And you can have it. Bahacham Meisen, they don't say it. No, no. It still has Kedusha's Truma.
So is he over a lot by wasting it?
So what's the pshat over here? So let's hold on a second. So let's go a little further in the Gemara. Good question. Rabbi Avu b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Loishol rel b'knumas yerek shal ganonim. Let's see. There's two different types of people. There are merchants. So if I'm a merchant that sells vegetables in the shuk, I will want to make my vegetables look beautiful and fresh and not, you know, droopy. So what I'll do is I'll cut off the excess leaves on the outside so it'll look its best. and sell best. I will cut off more than what you will cut off in your kitchen because I'm interested in making a sale. So my decision to what to discard is going to be quite a bit more than necessary. The stuff I discard will be roila chila. So that's taka where it's going to be awesome for Zohar. But, right?
Do I do business with Truma?
The Truma, it's the Kohen Mart. It's Kohen Mart. You never heard of the Kohen Mart? Yeah, the Kohen Mart, it's where the Kohanim come to buy Truma. I don't know. That's a great question. You totally stumped me on that one. Yeah, I don't understand. What are they doing selling this on the side of the road for?
Here in the brackets.
What?
Cohen shouldn't it in the way that these merchants do. Meaning, it's not necessarily talking about the merchants. It's
You're right. Where the Cohen trims. Good. That's good shot. You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
You got it? Yeah, that was my mistake. So it's not the merchant doing the cutting. The Cohen is going to trim the vegetables the way the merchants do. That's correct. Very good. Thank you, doctor. See, the doctor donated to the Gemaras, and he's already taking over the shiur already. It's unbelievable. Okay. The only time the Chachamim say it's Osir is where the Cohen cuts it that way. If he cuts it the way the Balabatim, then after Rabbanim Moedin, then even the Rabbanim will be Moedin to Reb Daisa, and they'll say it'll be Mutal Lazar. Because that's already spoiled, right? Such leaves are not deemed to be food. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's funny. Therefore, they're not consecrated as Truma. So that means it was consecrated originally,
yeah,
and it loses its consecration
when it spoils.
When it spoils, is that true?
Yeah.
So in the first case, when he's cutting it like a merchant,
right,
how can he do that and throw it away?
How can he do it? Yeah.
He's throwing it. It's food. He wants to make a pretty presentation.
It's not edible. It's not food
guests.
For him. It's
it is food. It is
not for him.
In the first case, it is food. He's just trying to make a very nice presentation to guests. His Kohan and family. So he's making a nice thing that they're going to eat, but he's throwing away the rest.
It's the same thing with the flour, though. I'm saying the flour, he's sifting, and the flour is raw, and you say anyway, you can still discard it because it depends on him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a good question.
That's why it's awesome.
But he's.
What's the heter for the Kohen to cut it that way? That's what he's asking.
Yeah.
He's not going to throw it away, I guess. He's just, this is the way he's going to eat it. He'll give it to his kids. His kids will eat it that way. What?
He'll set it aside.
Rabban Boy, so he asks, he wants to say like this. Rabban Boy, lo mistar b'truma gadoila. That makes sense if we're talking about truma gadoila. After all, we know truma gadoila, I mean, that Torah doesn't have a shear. So therefore, the sheer truma, you were yoytzeh anyway. So if you decide to cut some away, it's not going to make a difference anyway. Because you for sure were yoytzeh.
The sheer truma, it refers to the person that gives it to him, not to the coin.
So the guy that's giving the truma... Did it include the leaves?
By using less than the shear.
No. The opposite, because it's an estimate, the guy that gave it didn't include the leaves. So the leaves don't have the kedusha of the truma. That's why he can discard them.
It's not the Kohen.
It's not the Kohen. It's the giver.
Right.
It's not the Kohen.
I'm getting a little mixed up here, guys, because we're going back and forth here between the Kohen. We keep saying Kohen, And now you're telling me we're not talking about the Kohen anymore?
Yes. Correct.
He's analyzing Rav Dosa's heter. Rav Dosa is the one that said that Knivas Yerek Shel Truma, Rav Dosa says it was Mutar L'Zorim. Sounded to me like it was the Kohen that cut it away, and it was Mutar for the Zar to eat it. That's why I described it as the Zar coming into the Kohen's kitchen. Now, maybe I missed the whole boat here. Maybe I'm wrong completely.
It didn't become truma until he gave it to the Kohen.
It never does.
Okay, so therefore it's okay for him to cut away what he wants to cut.
Shlomi, you're right. Just keep on going.
What? Keep on going?
Everybody's trying to cut. Yeah. He's talking about truma that was designated and it's cut away by a Kohen. Is it Mutar L'Zorim or is it not Mutar L'Zorim? I don't know what everybody's talking about.
The question is. The question is this statement that we just read, that it's only mistaver if it's truma gedoyla.
Yes.
Why? If we're talking about after the fact, so what does it mean that just because the shear of truma is min hatara, you know, mashahu?
Because of the English you read in the paragraph before, because according to Rav Dosa, the person that gave truma never had in mind spoilage. Never had in mind.
So this is going back to the das of the no saying, which is what everybody's saying here.
Yes.
Okay, so they're not drinking a cup. They're saying very good. Okay, you're agreeing with them.
No, but they're talking about a case where it was truma already, not before it's truma.
So it was. Well, hold on a second. So when I gave the stalks I have my romaine lettuce stalk, and I'm giving it to the Kohen at the time of the Nesina, are the outside leaves pristine, fresh leaves that then subsequently wilt after a week in the refrigerator?
Yes.
Is that the case?
Yes.
Now, when the Kohen takes those wilted leaves off, they become mutter to the Zarim because the Nosei never had a mind to make wilted leaves truma?
No, that's not.
Is that not the pshat?
No.
What is the pshat here?
That the giver gives it as an omed, and he does not include the extras as part of the truma. So when the Kohen trims it off, he's not really trimming truma. That's why he says it's mutar l'zorim.
So when I gave it to him, it was already wilted.
Yes, that means it was whatever. It didn't look good.
It's just good.
The extras. It's not the
so it was not truma meat from the beginning.
It's not truma. Not according to how the Hebrew explains it. That's how he explains it. Right. It's an omed that the giver did not include that in the truma.
Okay.
That's why Rabbi Dosa says that.
We'll leave this as an open question for now.
Even though it's attached to the same head of
yes, 100%.
We'll leave it as a tzarkian for now. We'll accept it for now. Okay. Truma Smeiser. Now, when it comes to Truma Smeiser, now we obviously have a problem. Truma Smeiser has to be exact. It's not volume. It has right. to be exactly 10%. So if I'm going to give you 10%, and this is 10% when I'm putting on your plate right now, give it to you, if you start trimming away, it doesn't matter to me. I gave you 10% of what I had. It has to retain its so Rav Dosa's heter never applied in the case of Trumas Meiser. Right. That's what Rabbon is trying to explain here. Rabbon. Okay, Rabbon. Leaves may not be, no leaves may be plucked and discarded besides the leaves that were plucked before the Trumas Meiser designation, and no stalks may be plucked and discarded besides the stalks that were plucked before the Trumas Meiser designation. In other words, once they were designated, they have to be eaten. Right? That's what we're saying here.
And it's not with the
Lazar. Okay, now we're on the base. And that's the end of the sugya. Okay. There was one thing I underlined here. Yeah. Right, at the bottom of 19. So he says, since these are not truma, these leaves are permitted to not go hanum. In the case of truma smicer, however, where the full one-tenth is required, the owner certainly intends all of the designated portion to be consecrated as Trumas Meiser, including the unwanted leaves and stalks. All right, It sounds like it was totally in the das of the nosing from the get-go, perhaps even subsequent spoilage. I'm not sure. It may even apply to subsequent spoilage. Yeah, I'm going to learn that way for now. Okay, now we're in the next part of the Mishnah, which is talking about where, you remember we said that if you're pouring out the oil, for instance, that we wait until 3 drops fall out, and then you can refill the barrel with oil. If you didn't refill the bottle of oil, a barrel of oil with chulin, and the oil then subsequently all collected at the bottom of the barrel, it would be usur. That's what it said. Right. So Gemara says that there's a Mishnah in Bava Basra, in Samach Zion. So it says here, Kino Umit says, if the seller turns the vessel over and the remaining wine or oil collects at the bottom, Harashal Meicher, the Meicher gets to keep it because over here you say that it becomes true. In other words, is this part of the deal or is it not part of the deal? If it's part of the deal, it's Choshev, it should belong to the Lokeach. Why does it belong to the Mocher? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Las Kanshal Mocher, Ela Shal Lokeach. According to this Gersa, it means that he's changing it. That don't be Gersa in that Mishnah that the Mocher keeps it. You're right, if the Mocher stands the barrel up on its side and it collects at the bottom, it really belongs to the Lokeach. That's one way to learn this. There's other Gersos that say otherwise. She gives a different answer, and this is the only answer that's recognized in the Bavli, that it's because of Yiyush, right? It's because the Lokeach doesn't want to stand there all day waiting for the barrel to start, you know, to start settling. I got other things to do with my time than trying to save a teaspoon. He's Michael. It's Yiyush. He calls it Yiyush, right? Very good. So, Fractigamar, Bapa Kedish came. What about by Hekdesh? Would you say the same thing? So, the Gemara says like this. Amar Babu, Sherebi Yachin Apokadesh Kain, it's true even with Kodesh. Then the Gemara goes to a little bit more detail about the Kodesh. Amar Paisha, Lashon Bekashin Shesh Lahamatirin. And we're talking about, when we say it's Mutter, that's of a Kodesh that has a Heter Achila. So, for instance, a carbon, Mincha, or Korban Taida, whatever it was.
Mincha.
Seven, yeah, the remains of a Mincha offering after the Kometz is removed, and the frankincense, right? So then the Kohen can get the remainder. It's Mutter B'Achila to the Kohen. So the way he learns it is like this. So if you're pouring the oil out into another container and some of the oil starts to sink down to the bottom, so you don't have to worry about it. It's even though it'll become nicer, but since you fill it with other oil, it's not kosher. You don't have to be concerned. Let's see. So it has matirin. If it's something where there are no matirin, so then, let's see, it says over here, it's talking about wine. So wine is used as nesach among the mizbeach, and it's completely poured. So there, the whole thing is pure kaidish, there's no heter to kohanim at all, and therefore, every little bit is kosher. You have to pour it back into like hektish. Now the Gemara says, Rabon Barchia Boy Hadain Loig Shemon Shom Tzaira. So now the Tzaira has the following rules, and in 10 it goes into the details, but basically you're going to be taking some of the oil, sprinkling it on his
finger,
right thumb, right big toe, right ear, and then seven times toward the head, towards the Kodesh Kodesh. Okay, so then you take the rest of the oil in the palm of his hands, placed on the Tzaira's head. And the remaining of the log is mutter to the kohana. Okay? So here you have a mixture. This oil, therefore, is both, some of it's yesh lo matirin, some of it's ein lo matirin. Obviously, the stuff that's sprinkled on the Torah or towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim is no matirin. and the Kohen ends up having some. So the Gemara is asking, what do you do in an example like this where you have both attributes of this chiluk that we just said, right? We said if it's mutter the Kohen, then after the three drops, it's mutter. If it's not a mutter of the Kohen, then even three drops is not going to be a matar. What about the Metzorah? That's the Kasha. Tzolcha Hatzer, in a Tzolcha Hatzer. Mara says, in Tamer Tzolcha Hatzer, if you have to return all the oil back, below Hitzer, and you didn't return it back, so over Mishum Chesaron, then it'll come out that you had an obligation to bring a log, and part of the log is missing. And that won't be good. In Tamer, in a Tzolcha Hatzer of a Hitzer, but if you say you don't have to return, and then you turned it anyway, you are Machmer, so it comes out that that wasn't the original real amount that you needed to give. You gave more than you needed to give, so then that's going to be over Mishum Yisran. You're giving more than a log. It's a funny kind of a way to say it. I had a little trouble with this because we're talking about after the fact. So if I'm measuring the log, at the time that I'm doing the sprinkling, I have exactly a log in my container. I poured from the log into my palm. I did my sprinkling. I put it on his head. Now whatever's left of the log is mine. So what you're going to tell me that if I have a chiyuv to put it back, even after the three drops pour out, and I don't pour it, put it back, then there's something missing? What exactly does this mean? I mean, what if a drop of oil falls on the floor while I'm trying to eat my sandwich with my oil? I'm missing something? What am I missing? I did the avodah already of the zrikas. I really have a hard time with what the Gemara means here, that it's chesaron and it's yeser. Why is this true? I couldn't understand this Gemara. It means from the get-go, it's as if from the very beginning of the avodah, this was going to be missing since I didn't end up using it. That must be the pshat. Okay, Rabbi Chanina lo yamar kein. Ella, he could not have said, he did not say this. He did not report this discussion as recorded above. Ella, he had the following record. I'm Rabbi Haisha, lo yishan ala kachem sheish la matirin, ala kachem sheish la matirin, filo koshu tzach la hakzer. That what? What's the difference? Isn't that the same thing we just said? How is that different?
That's the same. Keep on going.
That's the same? Okay, so then the Gemara says, log shem and shom etzayra, log kachem sheish la matirin heim. Isn't this log, in other words, not that it was a question about log shem etzayra, the Gemara is asking as a kasha. This log of Metzora, isn't it like Kachem that are permitted to the Kohen? The Tamar Tzorch Lahaxer, yet you say you have to return every drop to the Holy. So it's in this version, it makes an accepted fact that it must be completely emptied. So the Gemara says, Hadom or Tzorch Lahaxer, if Lo Hixer, if you didn't do it, it's a Chesaron. You have to do it. So there's no basis even for an inquiry regarding the log of the Mitzvah. The matter is resolved. That's what it says in 14. Okay. Tani Rab Chalat, the Ben Shaul. So, Kedera Shabishal Batruma. Let's suppose you have an earthenware keli. This is very important. Kedera here means it's Kli Cheres. Normally, Kli Cheres, what do you say? We say that you can't do Hagala. You can't do Hagala with Kli Cheres. You have to Tri Rosen, Zuhi Tarosen, right? But here we're saying if you cook truma in a kedera, magilo bechamin shloish upon, you purge it three times in boiling water. If that is good enough, then you can cook chulin in the pot. Right. So I would imagine the pshat is like we're saying here. We've just said that even when something is be'en on the sides of the barrel, that you can refill it with chulin. Here, it's balua inside the kli cheres. Once you've made a reasonable effort to extract it, even though it's not fully functional, but it's no worse or than if it was on the side of the bar. I think that's the shot. Anyway, Amar Ba, Veinla made him Nevela, but this you cannot learn Nevela. In other words, you can't say, well, if I had Nevela that was absorbed into a Kli Cheres, go ahead and do Hagola three times and then be Mata the pint. You're going to have to do Shvira, right? The Gemara says, the next page, what's the distinction? Amar B'yaisi, Kachasi Kumi Rabba, Truma Ba'avain Misa. Let's take a look at the two Averas. Truma is a Misa de Shemayim Avera. Nevela is a loisase, it's much less. It's much more chomer truma. But yet, by truma, you're being makel with three times hagola. And by nevela, you're not allowing. What's the sense of that? So, my answer is Amalei. We're talking about Bisman that they were makabal, meaning after they came back by a sheni, right? They voluntarily accepted. There's a whole big note here in four. The idea is, we've had this idea before, that when Ezra came back, the it wasn't with Kol Klai Yisrael. We didn't have Rav Klai Yisrael that came back. Therefore, the Chi of Truma was only Drabonon. So therefore, since it's Drabonon, there's a special Kula, right? You're right. If it would be a Deraisa, we wouldn't have been Mekel so much to allow Hagola three times. But since this is Drabonon, so we were Mekel.
Okay. You realize that it's going to be soon that Rov of Am Yisrael will be in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, that's what they tina.
Will that change this?
That will change the din of Truma. It will. If Rov Klai Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, the din of Truma will change to become a din d'oraisa.
Not Shemitah.
Everyone has to be in the right shape. And not.